When he rolls up his sleeves, the angels putting on the ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There is thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, so you better keep believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God
is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love.
Our God is an awesome God.
Oh God.
I die, hallelujah. Yeah.
Gospel, and one of the things that we are called to do is baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ and disciple them in the Lord. And we have an opportunity today to have a baptism. But before we do that, we're going to share a word from Scripture, and then we'll get on with that. So let's pray. Father, thank you again for what a blessing it is to be a part of what you are doing in the lives of others. Lord, I can't help but thank you for the many that you have brought to my life to help me in my walk with you. And I thank you that we get to do that with others. We're thankful, Lord God, for the gospel that saves and changes us and gives us a hope. Oh, this world needs hope. You're the only one. And so thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to be our Savior, to take our place on the cross, to pay for our sins so that we didn't have to pay for it, and so that we can receive that blessed declaration, not guilty. Our sins are washed away, to be remembered no more. Thank you, God, for that. What a gift. Lord, we couldn't do it without you. We cannot save ourselves. We can't be good enough. There's only one good enough. His name is Jesus, your Son. And so we're here this morning and we want to praise the name of Jesus. We want to give you glory, God, for sending him. And we ask, Lord, as we consider your word, and we, in fact, we consider Jesus' baptism, we ask, Lord, that you would give us, maybe for those of us who need that, give us a new insight into what baptism is about, why it's important, what it means, and that you would challenge us if there are some here that haven't been baptized. First of all, that they need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that they would do that, that they would see that they need Jesus. They don't want to be standing at the end of days by themselves, not having an advocate, not having a righteous one standing with them. And that's Jesus. God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for anyone here that doesn't know you. And Lord, for those of us who do, remind us of maybe not just the time we've got baptized, but that what it means and how that is a part of our lives today. It's a part of our testimony. It's a part of our witness. And so, God, if there's someone here that knows you, trusts you, has received you, but they haven't been baptized, that they would follow in that act of obedience and faith. And thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your baptism. Thank you that you got baptized and what that means for us. Open our eyes to that today. Anoint your word. May we be changed because of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we'll be in Matthew chapter 3. And the chapter primarily is about the ministry of John the Baptist, which we're not going to get into for this morning, other than to say that part of his ministry was to baptize people in repentance. It was a baptism of repentance. In other words, He was preparing the way for the Lord. That's what was said about John the Baptist. And part of preparing the way for the Lord was to lead people into repentance, into having their hearts ready to receive the Lord when he would come. And eventually, Jesus did show up on the scene. John points out to Jesus when he sees him, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so Jesus did appear in the time of John's ministry and baptism and in the Jordan. But something unusual happens that John did not expect, and that Jesus chose to get baptized as well. And so that's in Matthew chapter 3, and starting at around verse 11. And let's see, what's our first verse there? Yeah, there we go. So that starts us off. Where are we? There we are. John says, he's speaking to the people who are prepared to maybe receive baptism. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So one of the things he's doing there is he's saying, this is the baptism that I've been offering, that I've been called to give, but then there's another kind of baptism that's coming that is greater than the one that I'm doing. Okay? I'm preparing you for that other baptism. Okay, that's basically what he's saying here, obviously referring to Jesus Christ. And then it goes on, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' But then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him." So you have the Trinity right there, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So we want to, maybe you've had this question before, maybe you haven't, but we want to at least consider to some extent, why did Jesus get baptized? And in fact, that's the question that John had when Jesus showed up. Why do you want me to baptize you, right? So as we think about Jesus' baptism, that maybe hopefully will give us some insight on the importance of why we should be baptized, okay? Now, Jesus' baptism obviously had something to do with his ministry, which was about to begin. So first, Jesus received baptism in order to demonstrate his submission to the will of the Father. Remember, that's something that Jesus always was about. He was always about doing the will of the Father. He was always essentially saying, "Here I am, Father, to do thy will." In fact, that's right out of the Psalms, prophetic of Jesus, coming here at this point, in this time, to do the will of the Father, which included baptism. So he's here getting baptized because the Father said so. Okay? John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus said, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And then in John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said again, "I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So again, we're reminded, and Jesus' ministry reminds us that all that Jesus did, he lived to please the Father. I mean, that's exactly the Father's response to Jesus' baptism. After he gets baptized, a voice is heard from heaven. It's the voice of his Father who says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so Jesus' baptism first is a willingness to be submerged into the will of the Father. You know, it's a challenge for us, isn't it? We all would say, "Yes, I want to do the will of the Father." Right? If you're a Christian, that's at least something you ought to say.
Okay? You at least should say it. Even if you don't mean it, you should say it. Okay? But the reality is this, much of our lives, we're not completely submerged into the will of the Father. Right? We want His will to an extent. But then we might be holding something out of the water. Whatever that might be. There's a piece of my life, part of my life, an arena or area of my life I still want some control over. Jesus modeled for us, demonstrated for us that He would submerge Himself completely, holding nothing back. And so that's a challenge for us today as we think about what baptism means. And also for a lot of you folks who've been baptized. Did you mean that when you got baptized? You should have meant that. A lot of us are learning still about what I did back then when I got baptized. It means to be submerged into the will of the Father. It meant that for Jesus. So, sometimes I have it over here. It's blame the operator, which is me. So, second reason, and I got like five or six or seven. So if you're taking notes, good luck with that. So the second reason, and none of these are necessarily, they're all important. So, but one of the other things that stands out, Jesus' baptism, or why He got baptized, was baptism of identification. Okay? So notice what John says in verse 14. Jesus shows up, and John says, no way. Right? I mean, he's telling the Son of God, no way. Now, he means it respectfully. Right? He says, I need to be baptized by you. And you are coming to me to be baptized? You're the sinless one. You have no reason to repent of anything. This is a baptism of repentance, and you have no reason to repent. You are the sinless one. I'm a sinner. There's even this picture of him saying, please baptize me. Who wouldn't want to be baptized by Jesus himself? Right? And yet Jesus is submitting himself to the ministry of John. By the way, this is an aside. He is affirming John's ministry by getting baptized. He's saying this ministry is of God. It is right, John, that you're baptizing people in repentance. But John's baptism can only do so much. We'll get into that in a moment. So John's response to Jesus is a natural response. It makes sense. You have no reason to get baptized. Why would we do this? You see, what Jesus was doing in getting baptized and submitting himself to this baptism of repentance is that not only was he submitting himself to the will of the Father, he was identifying with everyone in the line that was waiting for baptism. You see, Jesus' baptism was a baptism of identification. He was essentially saying, by being baptized, can you imagine it? I mean, Jesus, he's the Son of God, and yet he doesn't cut in line, right? Jesus wouldn't cut in line. So there he is, waiting his turn to get baptized, along with everybody else. What is he doing? He's saying to John and the Father, I'm with them. Amen? I'm with them. He's not a sinner. He's never sinned. He's the sinless one. That's why he can pay the price for our sin. And yet he's saying, I identify with them. I'm with them. In fact, by standing in line and then eventually being baptized, he's actually, especially with the picture, which we'll get into, he's making it possible for all of those who are getting baptized into repentance. He's making the repentance possible. He's making what they're repenting of possible to be forgiven by what he's going to do. So by being baptized, he's saying, I'm going to do what their repentance requires. That's how much I'm going to identify with them. I'm with them. So it's a baptism of submission, a baptism of identification, but it's also a baptism of representation. In other words, what he is doing is a picture of what he came to do. You follow what I'm saying?
He's going to get baptized in water. He's going to be submerged in the water. He's going to come out of the water. He knows that. That's not what's going to happen. And he is submitting to the picture of what baptism is. Because going into the water, submerged, it's death. It speaks of death. It's a death that's going to happen. And by being submerged, he is saying, I will fulfill the picture that this is. You follow? So going into the water, it's a picture of death. Coming out of the water, it's a picture of resurrection. So by this baptism of representation, he's submitting to the picture. This is a figurative. He's metaphorically going to die, and he's metaphorically going to rise from the dead in this baptism. It's a picture of the real thing. This is what he came to do for us, those who he identifies with. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, "For it was fitting, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." It says it was fitting for him. Exactly what he's saying here. He said, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So what he is doing, the picture points to the righteousness that Jesus is going to accomplish for us, because you must be right or made righteous if you're to be accepted by God. And guess what? Guess what kind of chance that you have to be righteous on your own? Big fat zero. Even if you decided from here on out, I'm never going to say a bad word again, I'm never going to think a bad thought again, good luck with that. But I'm clean slate from here on out. We already know that that's not going to happen. But clean slate here on out, guess what? You still got everything behind you, and you still got what's in you. It requires a righteousness imputed, or the word means counted to added to your account, a righteousness that you don't have yourself. Amen? So Jesus is saying, I have come to fulfill all righteousness of which the picture of baptism speaks to. This is a righteousness that God, through Christ, is going to accomplish for you and I. So it's a picture of death. It's a picture of resurrection. It's a picture of fulfilling all righteousness. Another piece to this. What this baptism meant for Jesus is that it was a baptism of commission. Jesus at this point is approximately 30 years old. And so for almost 30 years, he's been living in relative obscurity, right? We get a few moments of his life when he's little, when he's, 12, I think. We get a picture of him at the temple, kind of blowing the minds of the scribes and Pharisees there, teachers of the law. So basically he worked for his father, Joseph, until Joseph died, and he probably picked up the family business after that. So for 30 years or thereabouts, he lived in relative obscurity. He did not present himself. It was not the father's timing for him to present himself until now. This was, in fact, right prior to baptism, if we can picture Jesus living at home with Mary, caring for her, but then father saying, "It's time, son," and there he goes and he takes off his bibs and the bib and the tools, and he sets those things aside, and he takes his staff and he walks out the door and heads to the Jordan because the father says, "It's time." But before you can begin your ministry, before you can begin the works of God that I've called you to do, the Father and the Son, before you can begin those works, you need to be baptized. So baptism for Jesus was a baptism into the commission or the call of God into the ministry. Because after he gets baptized, he will begin the things that God had called him to do, why he came. Tied to this is, because we know what happens right after he gets baptized, He is led, it says in chapter 4 of Luke, so the next chapter, chapter 4 of Luke, it's also in Matthew. It is Matthew 4. Anyway, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And so, this baptism for Jesus was a baptism of preparation. Right? So he was baptized, and then he was put to the test. You know, one of the sad things, I've done a lot of baptisms it's been a lot of years since I've been here. Been a number of years. Over half my life, I think, at this point. No, not quite. Almost. I'm 53. That's getting old. Yes, I got gray hair. And not all of that is because of you, but some of it is. Especially Brent. I think it's mutual. I think I've given you some gray hair as well. Anyway, the sad thing is, and I found this to be true, somebody gets baptized and immediately they fall away. And it's sad. It's really sad. And I don't know why that is exactly. You know, each specific situation might be different. But I do know that the devil takes your baptism seriously. He takes your baptism seriously. Now, the Bible says if you believe, you ought to be baptized. So there's a sense in which you shouldn't prolong it. But it's also, there's an element of knowing what you're getting yourself into. Are you going to take this faith seriously? Because the devil's going to take it seriously. He's going to take your commitment seriously. He's going to take your commission seriously. He's going to take your baptism seriously. So Jesus, as soon as Jesus gets baptized, he's led into the wilderness and he's tempted by the devil. Why? Because Jesus takes the commission of Jesus seriously. He takes the baptism of Jesus seriously. He wants to derail the commission of Jesus. That's the purpose of the temptation. That's the purpose of the test, to derail Jesus from the commission that he has come to fulfill. Praise God, Jesus passed the test. Amen? But remember this, the devil takes your baptism. Some of you, how many of you have been baptized? It's been 20 years since you've been baptized or more. Over 20, okay? All right, that's good. Some of us, that just, shows you how old we are, right? Man, it's been a long time. Your baptism was not only a one-time event. Your baptism is into a commission. It's into a calling of God, which lasts your entire life. So when we think of, I got baptized way back when, and da-da-da, when we view the baptism as not as something that happened historically, but not something relevant in my life today, well, that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. He wants to remove from you, if he can, the power of your baptism and what it meant. What this means. Now, there's two baptisms, and this is important to clarify. In fact, we'll probably get into that the next point. But there's, of course, as soon as you come to Christ, you're baptized into his body. So there's a spiritual baptism, of which the water baptism is a picture of. Okay, and so that's important. But don't miss the point here. Jesus understood that the devil was going to put the baptism of Jesus to the test. And he does that with us as well. I don't know if I'm keeping up with this. Oh, yeah, we are. Good. Back in verse 11, second part of verse 11, Jesus says, John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, and fire. And so John is saying, I can baptize with water, but he's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. John was saying this about his baptism. He was not demeaning it, his call, in any way. But he was saying, listen, all I can do is baptize you with water. I can get you wet.
I can dunk you. Okay? I can try not to thump your head on a rock or on the back of a tub. Okay? I say that because I've done that before. You know, you gotta, before they drown, you gotta pull them out of there because you're gonna go unconscious. You know? Anyway, don't worry, that won't happen today. I promise you. I promise you. But John is saying, listen, all I can do is baptize you with water. But when Jesus comes, he's going to baptize you with fire. He wasn't minimizing the importance of being baptized with water. He was just saying what his baptism is limited to do. Because this can get you wet, but fire is going to change you. And so when Jesus was baptized, he was demonstrating in his baptism that that is the kind of baptism that he came to bring. The picture of death and resurrection and faith in that picture, faith in the actual death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, would enable a baptism that would transform you and make you something that you could never be apart from the baptism of Jesus Christ. That comes by faith. You see, you and I can only do so much in someone's life, right? We can do a lot, but we can only do so much. We can baptize. We can dunk someone in a body of water. We can teach. We can preach. We can instruct. We can pray. We can come alongside, disciple. We can do a number of things. We can, as John did, we can prepare the way. But only the baptism of Jesus can change a heart. Right? So what we need is, we really need the fire. We need the water because the water is a picture of the fire. You following the metaphor here? If you've been baptized by fire, the Holy Spirit, that indicates a change, a transformation, where you were a sinner and now you're a saint. Where you were lost, now you're found. Where you were gone, now you're here. You were dead, now you're alive. There's a transformation that happens in the baptism of Jesus Christ. The water baptism is a picture of the change that has happened. Jesus referred to his baptism when he said, or this particular baptism, and he said, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, not enough to just get in water. You need the baptism that happens inside of man, right? So John's baptism essentially was the dress rehearsal. Jesus' baptism is the main event. John's baptism can get you ready, but it won't get you saved. Jesus' baptism will make a guilty man just, a dirty man clean, an empty man full, a broken man whole, a poor man rich, a weak man strong, and a dead man live. That's what Jesus can do. Amen? We love baptism, but we got to remember what this can do and what it can't do. This is an opportunity to testify that I have been baptized in the Spirit and fire, and therefore I will be baptized in water too. Here's the catch, though. In order to be filled, you got to be empty. In order to be healed, you first must be crushed. In order to be saved, you got to be slain. You follow? It's kind of like the idea of, in order to receive, you got to have an open hand. Right? And so many of us want something from God, but we have a closed hand. You see, the baptism of Jesus, and what it speaks to us is, when Jesus gets a hold of you, it's searing, it's refining,
It's purging. It's cleansing. Have you ever renovated anything? You got to first tear it all up before you start over again. That's what being baptized into Christ does. That's why Jesus often said, "Are you really sure you want to follow me? You better count the cost. Because there's nothing better, but it's going to take you through the ringer." Who can say amen to that? Who can say, "Jesus has seared me and healed me"? Amen? See, the problem many is that many want to be saved, but they don't want to be burned. They don't want the fire. They want the water, but not the heat. So, you know, we always want to be careful. We don't want to make it, you know, Jesus never made it easy for anybody to follow him. It was always simple. Usually the hearers made it more complex. And we tend to do that too. We tend to overthink it. But Jesus said you must have the faith of a child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Who's thankful for that? You don't have to be a Greek scholar. Anyone? You know Hebrew? You don't have to know Hebrew. You have to have the faith, the simple faith of a child. And yet, the other side of that is Jesus often said, "Are you sure you want to follow me? Because it's going to be kind of like my road. Follow me, you're going to sleep where I sleep. You're going to carry what I carry. You're going to hurt like I hurt. You're going to identify with me." See, baptism is a pretty important thing. It's pretty serious. Because baptism is saying, "I'm going to follow him. Wherever he leads, I will go." You see, salvation isn't just about being saved and going to heaven. It's a life of faith lived in the Son of God. It is a life following after him. Amen? So, why should we get baptized? A couple things. I say a couple, I have got about five. Why should we submerge ourselves into a pool or a river or wherever else? What does it mean for us, our baptism, to be baptized is a baptism of identification. It is to say, "I'm with him. I'm with him. For the rest of my life, I'm with him." It's an entrance into the picture. It's faith in the picture. It's faith in what Christ has done. I believe and trust in his death and resurrection and what he accomplished through that. It's that identification because the Word of God says that in order to, upon receiving Jesus Christ, we also die. It's a picture of our death and resurrection. Again, it's the transformation of our life. We die to sin and we rise to new life. There is a picture of the cleansing and washing away of sin. That's John's baptism, picture of the water washing over and coming out clean. And so there's a testimony that says, "I've been washed." We sang today. How are you washed in the blood of Jesus? It's a picture. It says, "I've been washed. I've been cleansed." Praise God. We say, in our Sunday school class today, we looked at Psalm 32. "Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven." They've been washed away. But also the water baptism, which is an outward demonstration or a testimony of what has happened within me. That's spiritual baptism. But it's also, like Jesus, it's an entrance into the commission of God. Into the call of God. It's in a way, it's kind of like we're beginning the Christian life when we get baptized. Doesn't mean we don't get saved by getting wet. The salvation has happened. This testifies to that salvation. And it's that confession, that testimony, that declaration that says, "I'm going to follow him. I answer to him. I'm responding to his commission, to his call." And finally, and I love this piece. Remember when Jesus was baptized and came out of the water? And the Father sat over his Son. And the dove came down
And I love the picture of the Trinity. The Father is there, the Holy Spirit's there, and Jesus, of course, is there. And you have this picture of the Trinity and the Father declaring. You have the dove, the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove, descending upon Jesus. And Jesus would live in the power of the Holy Spirit from that point forward. And you have this word from heaven saying, "Behold, this is my Son. Behold, my Son in whom I am well pleased." And what a testimony from the Father to his sons who are baptized and to his daughters that are baptized. And what a picture of the relationship that we have with the Father, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, gives us the cry, "Abba, Father." And we hear from the Father in a setting like this, even as we get baptized. We hear the word spoken to Jesus, spoken to those who are in Christ. "Behold, my Son. Behold, my daughter. I am well pleased in you." Amen? So that's Jesus' baptism. And that reminds us of why we ought to as well. So, let's say a prayer real quick. Father, we just come before you today and we thank you for the baptism of Jesus. We thank you for what it means for us, specifically what it means today for us as we have a baptism. We're excited about this. And so, Lord, we just pray that we know that you're here. We know that you are looking down upon, you are here with us, and you are delighted when your people, when your children gather together to praise your name and to draw near to you. And you are delighted when someone enters into believer's baptism. And so thank you for this time. Just inviting you, the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, to just be here with us. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm gonna, we've known Casey for a little while, and it's funny. I've had a few conversations with some folks recently, and when they hear, "Who'd you say again is getting baptized?" It's like, "Yeah, that one." and so it's just so wonderful when God does something that only he can do. And this has been, what we're experiencing today is probably a culmination of years of some prayer, right? It wasn't too long ago we baptized Bo here a few years ago. And we're excited today to have Casey, who has been, I can't say enough. He has made it so easy. You don't have to drag the guy into the Word of God. You don't have to drag the guy to church. You don't have to drag him. He is all in. And it's such an absolute honor and privilege to be here today to help make this possible for Casey. So I'm going to ask Casey, come on up. And anybody that would like to join, you guys kind of come around to the side here. And I'm going to ask, I told Casey, he's going to ask you a question. And you can kind of answer that question. So, we're gonna just hear a little bit as far as Casey. Why? What led you to this moment?
First of all, praise God for allowing me to being patient with me for all these years, because he's been calling me. I just have ignored it. Now that's finally happened, I accept Jesus, my Lord and Savior. The joy that it's brought to me. These are tears of joy.
Not fear.
It's overwhelming almost, but I've told Pastor John this. I'm still absorbing all this. I feel like a sponge, but thank the Lord for calling me and being patient with me. Amen. And my family for being here.
Amen. Amen. Right? Are we ready? Josh, you want to Or Brent, come on over. We just need to put that down there. I've tried to keep the heat in here as long as possible. I can't promise anything. But I know that's the least of my concerns. So. All right. Well, are we ready for baptism or what?
Yes.
All right. We on? Yes, we can. All right, Casey, we've got towels ready. And we're ready to go. All right. So, Casey, we just want to come on up here and maybe hold on to the edges a little bit so you don't, have an accident or something. That would be bad. Perfect. All right. We're excited about this. So, Casey, I would just say that probably one of the most exciting times in the ministry has been seeing God work in her life. And I've been doing this for a long time. So you've made it easy as far as you're just hungry for the Lord and you're seeking it. And that is just a tremendous blessing. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in your life. And already what he's doing. And the family and everybody. So we're excited to be here. I know a lot of folks are excited and probably maybe a little in awe of what's happening right now. So, and God's here. And he is pleased. Amen. All right, so why don't you scoot all the way up to the edge there. We don't want to bang the head back there. All right, so we're gonna make sure we cover your nose so we don't swallow out of water. Casey, have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
And I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Last thing we're concerned about is a wood carving. Hey, why don't you guys come on up? We're gonna pray. Casey, why don't you come over here in the center here, and let's get around. Anybody else would like to come around and kind of lay a hand on something? You guys come on up. You guys, you're a part of this too. All right. So we get in here, and I'm gonna close in prayer, but we're gonna pray over our brother here. I'm excited, delighted, absolutely delighted to be here. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, Lord God, our hearts are full. What a blessing to be here today, to be a part of new life, to be a part of something that we can't quite put words to. What you are doing, what you have done. I thank you, God, for getting a hold of Casey, bringing him to a place of surrender. You brought him to a place of coming to the end of himself. The end of his resources, his strength, his wits. He was at his wits' end. And it was then that he looked to you. And it was you drawing him all along. And I thank you for your patience and your mercy and your grace. For drawing him into your family and filling him with your Holy Spirit. Baptizing him in Jesus. Baptizing him in fire. Giving him the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for that. Continue to stir up a desire and a hunger for you and a love for you. Thank you for the ways that you're already working in his life. You've removed the hardness and you've made him soft. You've removed the sharp edges and he's tender. You've softened the hard heart and you've made it alive. And I thank you, God, for that. We have just witnessed a miracle of God. Let us never forget that. And let us take away, in each and every one here, to take away what you would do for us if we would trust you, surrender, and believe. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, they need fire and water. They need you. Lead them to it, O God. Let them not be able to forget about it. Emblazon this on their minds and on their hearts, that they would need to be right with God, forgiven of their sin, and receive a new life in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the family, just the joy and blessing to see what you're doing in all of them. And may their extended family, their extended friends be impacted by their testimony. Lord, it's all about you. And so, God, we just come alongside Casey and his family in support of their new faith and of the direction that you're calling them. We want to help them along the way.
And we know that you'll use them to help us along the way too. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for what you've done in this house. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Thanking you. And we ask this, Lord, as we go, we are going floating on a cloud. Praise the Lord. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name, all God's people said. In Jesus' name, all God's people said. Put your hands together, praise the Lord. And make sure you welcome this brother in the